Well, people of IBC, it is good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. My name is Taylor Whitley. I am the associate minister here at IBC, and it's my blessing and privilege to share God's word with you all this morning. Here at IBC, we believe that being involved in Christian community is an absolute necessity of the faith. That when we're involved in community with one another, we grow with one another, we learn with one another, we experience life together in Christ, and that life together enriches us and empowers us to live for God. And so we have a short video that we want you to watch to learn about a very intentional way you can be involved in life together here at IBC. So let's watch this together.
Hi, I'm Lydia Whitley, the Adult Discipleship Coordinator for IBC Stuttgart. A great way to get connected at our church and be growing in your faith is by joining one of our IBC home groups. Christian community is so important. It is a source of strength and joy for us as we seek to live out our faith and grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. This fall, the home groups at IBC are going to be using a special material called Life Together. This study was written by IBC specifically for our IBC home groups. Each week, we will explore what it means to have fellowship together, to pray, to study the scriptures, and to serve others in Christian community. If you'd like more information, you can visit our website at ibcstuttgart.de/homegroups. Are you ready to get connected and start growing with others? Then join an IBC home group this fall and experience life together.
So this fall, we want to encourage you to get involved with one of our IBC home groups and really make this church your spiritual home while you're here in Stuttgart. And like Lydia said, you can go to the website to find more information, updated info on all our IBC home groups. So today, we're going to continue our series on the Sermon on the Mount. Everybody say the Sermon on the Mount. That was pretty good. All right. The Sermon on the Mount. This is the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, Jesus. In this sermon, we have learned what it means to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And each week, Jesus has been teaching us from this sermon what it means to be part of his upside down, his otherworldly kingdom. We learned at the beginning of chapter 5 in Matthew, the Beatitudes, the characteristics that describe citizens of God's kingdom. And for the last few weeks, we've been going through the ethics of God's kingdom. We've learned that murder is not simply an act that we commit physically. It's also something we can commit against our brothers and sisters in our hearts. And the same thing with lust. Adultery is not just something that we commit physically with someone else. It can be something done in our own hearts against others. And Jesus has been challenging our ethical standard. He's been showing us that as citizens of his kingdom, there is more to life than what this world has to offer. And in the last verse, last week, Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, Jesus gave this pinnacle experience, this pinnacle phrase of what it means to be a citizen of God's kingdom. He says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." He's saying that if you want to be my disciple, if you truly want to follow me, then you have to be perfect just as God is. And really what Jesus is saying is being a citizen of his kingdom is not something we can do on our own. We have to have God come into our hearts and transform us from the inside out so that we can live for him. And so our text today is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And these verses serve as a sort of shift in the Sermon on the Mount from the ethical teaching of Jesus to the practical teaching of Jesus. And we're going to be looking at what Jesus challenges us to do in worship. He's going to challenge us to worship him authentically. And there's kind of one main point we're going to focus on through this entire sermon today. It's that when we worship God authentically, we receive his reward. When we worship God authentically, we receive his reward. This is the main point of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And this is really two parts of a three-part section in the sermon on worship with through giving, prayer, and fasting. But we're just going to be looking at giving and prayer today. And I want to read this text with you. If you haven't already, please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, about three-quarters of the way through your Bibles. And then I'd like to ask you to stand in honor of the public reading of God's Word. Jesus' words are so clear here. Just a simple outline. In verse 1, he's going to tell us, don't be a hypocrite. In verses 2 through 4, he's going to say, don't be a hypocrite when you give. And in verses 5 through 8, he's going to say, don't be a hypocrite when you pray. So listen closely to God's Word. At the conclusion of this reading, I'm going to say, this is the Word of the Lord, and I invite you to respond out loud together by saying, thanks be to God. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word that is true, your word that is powerful, that is living and active, your word that you have given us by your Spirit through your Son Jesus, that we might know you, that we might have a relationship with you, that we might authentically live for you. So Lord, teach us from your words today that we might not be like the hypocrite, but that we might display authentic worship for the glory of your name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. When we worship God authentically, we receive his reward. Now, this week, as I was preparing for the sermon, I thought to myself, how should I preach this text? If you've heard me preach before, you know that I have a few different ways that I like to preach. Sometimes I like preaching through stories, through weaving something in and out to display the truth of Scripture. Sometimes it's fun to save the main point for the end, so it's kind of like a big zinger there at the end that gets us. But as I was reading Jesus' words, I just realized how clear, how simple but profound they are. And so this morning, we're just going to walk through this text verse by verse. And we just have this one point, this one main point is all that we're going to focus on today, that when we worship God authentically, we will receive his reward. Now, there's three principles of interpretation that I think can guide us through this text. Three simple things that will help us to understand what Jesus is saying here. First, there is a hypocritical way to worship. There is a hypocritical way to worship. Second, there is an authentic way to worship. There's an authentic way to worship. And third, there is a reward for our worship. There is a reward for our worship. So let's begin by simply jumping in to chapter 6, verse 1 today, where Jesus teaches us essentially, do not worship hypocritically. He says, Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Jesus is telling us here that when we worship, which is another way of saying practice your righteousness, when you worship God, do not do so in a way that you can be seen by others. Don't worship so that you can show others how good of a relationship you have with God, because when you do this, you don't receive any reward from God. Jesus is saying that this is hypocritical worship, worship that is not centered upon God, but upon us. What does it even mean to be a hypocrite? Well, that word hypocrite means to say one thing, but to do another, right? Germans have a great word for hypocrite. Sometimes the German language just captures a word way better than any others. Germans, you know the word for hypocrite? Heuchler. Heuchler. Yeah, it's a great word, right? It just sounds like bad. It sounds bad. And there's this great phrase in German that can actually be used a couple of different ways, but one of the ways that I've been testing this a little bit this week, one of the ways that can be used is you can say, er ist Herr Saubermann. Or for the non-German speakers, he is Mr. Clean Man, which basically means that he looks clean. He looks like everything is perfect on the outside, but in the inside, it's something different. That is the definition of a hypocrite. But the opposite way to worship, the non-hypocritical way to worship, is to worship authentically. It's to worship with authenticity. And authenticity means to be exactly who you say you are, to do exactly what you say you're going to do, to be real in every aspect of your life. The German word is the exact same, right? It's authentisch, right? There's no difference, but I think there's even a better German word than authentic to describe this, and that's the word echt. That's a great German word, isn't it? Everybody say echt. For those of you who have no idea what you said, you just said real. Real. To be authentic means to be real. It means to live the way that you say you live, to do the things that you say to do, to worship the God who created us the way he desires us to. Now, this text in particular is really important for us because if we consider it, one of the major obstacles that non-Christians have to the faith is this. Well, they're just all a bunch of hypocrites. If the world looks at us, the church, and thinks that we are just a bunch of big hypocrites, then the words of Jesus should be striking at our hearts today. Because Jesus is saying that true citizens of God's kingdom are not hypocritical. They are authentic in the way that they worship. And so we're going to dive into this text, examining giving and prayer and seeing how we can be authentic in our worship to God. In verse 2, Jesus continues. He says, thus, or basically, because I told you, don't be a hypocrite. Thus, when you give to the needy. Now, a small side note here. Notice Jesus says, when you give, not if you give. Giving is not an option to true citizens of God's kingdom. It is expected by Jesus as we are his followers to give. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets that they may be praised by others. Jesus tells us that when we give, we should not give hypocritically. Now, throughout this text, Jesus is going to use this literary device called hyperbole. That's a big word, hyperbole. Does anybody know what that word means, hyperbole? It means to exaggerate. He's going to exaggerate. So check it out. I might say after the service, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse, right? And I probably will be very hungry. But could I eat a horse after this service? Is that physically possible? No, I'm using hyperbole to make the point of how hungry I am. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying the religious people of the day, the ones who were hypocrites, they would go around in the streets as if they were blowing trumpets, saying people, look at how good I am. Look at how much I give. Look at how generous I am and how much God loves me because of my generosity. They were worshiping God hypocritically. And Jesus says, don't be a hypocrite. Why? The end of verse 2. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Remember, there is a reward for our worship, whether we worship hypocritically or authentically. And when we worship hypocritically, we receive no reward from God. We simply receive the praise of men. And that is not what Jesus is calling us to do. Instead, Jesus wants us to be authentic in our giving. He says in verse 3, but when you give, again, there's that word when, not if. When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Now again, Jesus is using hyperbole. I don't think that Jesus is saying give in such a way that you don't even realize you're giving. I don't think that's possible. I think what Jesus is saying is that when you give, you should give in such a way that doesn't draw attention to yourself or how good you are. You should give in a way that draws attention to God and how good He is, so that He may receive the glory. He's saying when you give, give authentically. And what's the result? The end of verse 4. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Now, this is the part of the sermon that I probably spent the most time on this week, because this is the part that can probably be most misunderstood. So before I explain what the reward for authentic giving is, let me just give two quick points here. One, I believe Jesus. I think Jesus is correct. When we give authentically, we do receive a reward from God. That's real. But two, I don't think Jesus is espousing a prosperity gospel. I don't think that Jesus is saying here, when you give to God, then He gives you nice clothes and a big house and things like that. In fact, if you got that from this text, you need to reread it, because that's not what Jesus is saying here. So what is the reward? What is the reward we receive from God when we give authentically? Well, I think that the reward is threefold. I think there's three different ways we can look at it. We receive God's grace, we receive God's goodness, and we receive God Himself. So let's break this down. When we give authentically, we receive God's grace. Jesus is talking about giving to the poor. When we give to the poor, when we provide for people in need, we are giving them something that they do not deserve. Giving them something that they did nothing to earn. And when we do that, we are representing Jesus and what He has done for us. You see, Jesus comes into our lives and saves us and transforms us even when we don't deserve it. He freely gives us His grace, though we've done nothing to earn it. And when we give, we are rewarded with that grace. That grace that He gives us at salvation without earning, but also the grace to continue to give generously. The grace to love one another. The grace to grow in Christ. When we give authentically, we are rewarded with God's grace. Second, when we give authentically, we are rewarded with God's goodness. My father used to tell me growing up, son, you can never outgive God. That is a good word. And that has proven true in my life. Because when we give authentically, we receive God's goodness. And I think one way we receive it is God provides for our needs. Just a few verses later in chapter 6, Jesus says, don't worry saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? He says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, when we give authentically, God provides and meet our every need. He is our loving Father who wants to take care of us as His children. But not only does God meet our needs, I think God also gives us more to give. Do you see what I did there? When we give authentically, God actually gives us more so that we can give more. I think this is exactly what Jesus meant when He said in Luke chapter 16, those who are faithful over a very little will be faithful over very much. And when you give authentically to God, when you give in such a way that brings Him glory, when you give to the poor and needy, when you give to the church so that we can reach the next generation for Christ, when you give to these various things, God will give you more so that you can give more. You get that? Not so that you can go on a big European vacation, not so that you can buy a nice house, but He'll give you more so you can give more. The third reward we receive is we receive more of God Himself. When we give authentically, we receive more of God's Himself. We learn to trust God more. We learn to rely on God more than our bank accounts. We learn that God has freely given us everything so we can freely share everything He gives us with others. When we worship authentically, we receive God's reward. So let's take what we've learned here in Matthew chapter 6 about giving, and let's then shift gears and look at prayer beginning in verse 5. Jesus says, and when you pray, again, there's that word when, not if. Jesus expects his followers to pray. When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. Jesus is telling us here, do not pray hypocritically. Well, what's the hypocritical way to pray? Well, he gives us one in verse 5. One hypocritical way to pray is to draw attention to yourself. The religious leaders of the day would go around standing in crowded areas on street corners and shout how greatly God loved them and say, hey, everybody, look at me. Look at how good of a prayer I am, drawing attention to themselves. When we do that, we receive a reward, not God's reward, but the praise of men. He even shifts to pagans in verse 7. He says, but when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. You see, it was tradition in that day, and still in other parts of the world, it's tradition now even, to pray by using repetitious statements or by calling on the names of various gods, hoping that they will be heard. Jesus is saying, you don't have to worry about that. Don't pray that way because God hears you. You can be certain of this. You don't have to get his attention. When you pray, do not pray hypocritically. He says, instead, when you pray, you should pray authentically. He says in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward him. He even continues in verse 8, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So he's saying pray authentically. And again, he's exaggerating a little bit here. I don't think Jesus is saying you should only pray in secret. Like, I don't think Jesus, if he came here right now, would say, hey, you messed up praying earlier. Shouldn't have done that in front of other people. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when you pray, you should pray in a way that draws attention to God and not to yourself. In fact, next week, if you come back next week and hear David teach about the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, you'll see that it's a plural prayer. It's something we're supposed to do together, united as one. In fact, Jesus said earlier in Matthew chapter 5 that we are the light of the world and a city set on a hill. And he says in verse 16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Essentially, what Jesus is saying is let the world see your authentic worship. Let them see it, because when they see it, they also will turn from their sin and worship God, giving him glory in heaven. So if we're not supposed to be hypocritical and we're supposed to be authentic, then how can we do this? What is the true authentic way to pray? I think in order to understand this, we have to understand that prayer is, at its most basic sense, a conversation with God. It's intimate time that we spend with God so that we can know his will. We can bring our requests to him. We can praise him. We can thank him. We can confess sin to him, so on and so forth. Think of it this way. My wife and I think most of you know this, some of you may not, are expecting our first child. And in just 3 or 4 more months, our baby will be here. We're super excited. It's going to be great. It's going to be fun. But in the 3 or 4 months leading up to that, we're trying to take advantage of every moment we have together. And we have this Italian restaurant in Feigen that we just love to go to. It's called the Feigen Markstube, but we don't call it that. We call it Teodora's because the waitress is Teodora. And so we love going there and enjoying dinners together and kind of having that intimate time together. Now, tell me what you think might happen. If we were to go to Teodora's tonight for dinner and I were to step in and I were to open the door, step in, Teodora, Enzo, attention everyone in the restaurant. My wife and I are here to have dinner together. Look at her. How beautiful she is. How lovely she is. And then go sit at the table. Oh, Lydia, I love you so much. You're just the best woman in the world. Everyone, look at how much I love my wife. What would people in the restaurant think? They would think I'm crazy, right? They would think I'm insane. They might even call the cops and say, there's this guy that's yelling and we don't know what to do with him, right? Check this out. Lydia herself would not enjoy that experience. She herself, she would be terrified. She's probably a little embarrassed right now that I just did that. It would be embarrassing for her. And so that is a funny example, but really when we go to dinner, we're not supposed to let everyone know how much we love each other or things like that. We're supposed to have intimate time together. And it's the same thing with prayer. That's exactly what Jesus is saying about prayer, that when we pray to God, we should not draw attention to ourselves. We should not do so in a way where people come up to us and say, oh, you're just so good, you're so holy, blah, blah, blah. We should do it in such a way that draws attention to God, to His glory, so that we can grow closer to Him in authentic worship. Because when we worship God authentically, we receive His reward. Well, what's the reward from prayer? It's the same thing as giving. We receive more of God's grace, more of God's goodness, and more of God Himself. When we pray, we receive more of God's grace. We can ask Him to help us, and He will. We can ask Him to grow us in His love, to sanctify us, to transform us into His image. When we pray, we receive more of God's grace. When we pray, we also receive more of God's goodness. I think God answers our prayers. And I think that when we're praying the will of God, and I think that when we're asking God, God, would you please help me to share my faith with my coworkers? God, would you please give me the strength to love this difficult person? God, would you please help me be generous with my possessions? God will answer our prayers in His goodness. And when we pray authentically, we receive more of His goodness. And third, when we pray authentically, we receive more of God Himself. Every time we enter into that intimate time of prayer with God, we are growing closer to Him. We are learning more about the love of a Father. We are experiencing His goodness and His grace in our lives, and we receive more of God Himself. When we worship authentically, we receive God's reward. So I have three simple questions to ask you today in conclusion. One, are you worshiping God? I'm not deceived. I'm not so gullible to think that everyone in this room is a Christian who has a perfect relationship with God. Some of you today may not have trusted Christ. Some of you may have no idea what any of this is. You're just here because of a friend brought you. But something about God brought you here today. Some desire, some inkling, some curiosity. And my challenge for you today is worship God. Try it. Seek Him in your life and see what He will do for you. Are you worshiping God today? Second, are you worshiping hypocritically or authentically? Really take a moment and consider your giving and your prayer. Are you worshiping God in a hypocritical way or authentic way? And here's a good way to check. Are you receiving God's rewards? Are you receiving more of God's grace, more of God's goodness, and more of God Himself? If you can't think of the last time you received any of that, you might need to check your motives in giving and prayer to see that you're worshiping God authentically. And third, if you are worshiping God authentically, if you are receiving the rewards from God that He's promised in His word, what's the next step? What is the next possession that God is calling you to give sacrificially to enhance His kingdom work in this world? What's the next prayer that He is calling you to pray to go to deeper levels of faith and trust in Him? Because people of IBC, when we worship God authentically, we receive His reward. Will you pray with me? Father, we need You. God, we need more of Your grace, Your goodness, and of Yourself in our lives. God, Your words are so simple. They're so clear, yet they're also so challenging. God, would You reveal the hypocrisy in our hearts? Would You show us the areas in our giving and our prayer that we haven't surrendered to You, but we're still holding on to? God, and would You challenge us today? Would You break those chains in our lives that we might worship You authentically with no barriers? Lord, if there's someone today who has never trusted You, would You move in their hearts right now just to bring them to that level of faith of saying, God, I may not understand everything, but I know I need You. And God, for those of us who are in Christ, would You challenge us? Would You encourage us and equip us to worship You authentically every day of our lives? Thank You, Lord, for Your word and for the challenges in life and love and grace therein, that we might be true citizens of Your kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.